the Three-Lobed Burning Eye Story Podcast.
Today's story is All Her Rows of Teeth by Jordan Corella. Three-Lobed Burning Eye Magazine, Issue 42, July 2024. Jordan Corella is a trans and disabled author who has lived all over the world, including Moscow and Manhattan. In his past lives, he was a photographer, radio DJ, and social worker. His work has been nominated for the Nebula Award, longlisted for the British Science Fiction Award, and taught at Iowa State University. He is the author of the novella, I Never Liked You Anyway, and the short story collection, When I Was Lost. Jordan lives in Ohio with his perfect service dog and perfectly serviceable cat.
All Her Rows of Teeth, written by Jordan Corella, recorded by Jordan Corella. The dive goes poorly from the start. Within an hour of cutting the engine, the radar can't pick up either the Vice Shark signal or Alessandra's. And I need both, if any of us are going to see land again. So, because Alessandra was wild enough to go searching after the Vice Shark, I got to go searching after Alessandra. Not because I still love her, but because she's worth millions, millions of millions, and I can't lose that kind of paycheck. The blip of the radar hits at the tip of my frustration. There, Caleb, there. The captain doesn't have to tell me twice. Already in my overwrought gear for an overwrought dive, the riggers double-check it quickly before I figure out my mask and fall backwards into the ocean after a woman worth thousands of memories. And a shark whose legend spans deeper than all its rows of teeth. Not long ago, Alessandra refound me in my favorite bar on the outskirts of nowhere, Georgia, looking like she belonged there. She always had the talent of looking like she belonged, wearing an old Rolling Stones t-shirt soaked from humidity and hair just as outdated. Her walk said every bit that she was careful, though, about who she talked to, where she sat in a room, and what she drank. And what she drank was soda direct from a bottle. Caleb, you look like shit. She swigged her 7-Up like it was beer. I admit, when I was younger, I'd been attracted to that kind of confidence. But I didn't know Alessandra then. What else did you expect? Alessandra leaned back in her chair like she owned every inch of the space. She probably did. I smiled, my grin full of porcelain teeth, teeth she paid to put there. Her own grin was full of stains from a life living on the edge. We had matching smiles a while back. There had once been photos of us smiling together, but those probably got destroyed along with me, versions 1 and 2.
So anyway, Caleb, remember all that talk about the Vice Shark?
Oh yeah. I said, sipping my own RC Cola, also direct from the bottle. Now Alessandra leaned in.
What if I told you that I know where it is, and I can lead you right to it?
Bullshit. But I'd said it too loud, and too many people were interested, eager to be a part of this long-lost legend, so long-lost that the Vice Shark story had been buried in Weekly World News, Microfiche, and the Internet Archive. Both told a story of a shark that fed off the most debaucherous hedonism, the dregs of humanity. People like me and Alessandra, people like all of us stuck in nowhere. And the story goes, if you were lucky or unlucky enough to find the Vice Shark, you got one wish. The trick was finding it, the wish, or the shark. So, like everyone trying to listen in, I kept my voice low when I said, also, why tell me? You contacted me like, what, a month ago, after 6 years of silence? Not since the last surgery, not since that one more party, please, Caleb, to see me off. Why the fuck do you want me on this job? Alessandra leaned over and put her hand on mine, her perfect, smooth, calm fingers covering up my twitching ones, twitching from nerves and annoyance. I didn't like this. I didn't want Alessandra here.
Caleb, you know why. You know why. You don't owe me anything, Alessandra. I'm the one that owes you. She smiled then and stood to leave. But she didn't go. She was waiting for me. I hesitated a minute, then a minute longer. Alessandra knew me too well, but I knew her just as well. The vice shark was bait. Alessandra was leading me to something else. Diving into the murk this far out where the water is mean? That's my favorite. This far above the Mariana Trench is enough danger to get lost in, enough worry not to get anxious over. This is the Death Valley of the ocean. I am stupid enough to come all the way out here, brave enough to dive here, and desperate enough to go after something like the vice shark. Or at least I was, but I'm not that guy anymore. Alessandra used to understand me like I understood her, because she was me at one point, because I was the girl who studied marine biology in undergrad with her, partied with her, and followed the smell of her $30 hairspray around like it was better than cocaine, which we both knew wasn't true. Then I transitioned, and I kept on with the drugs, and I got a boat, and I started taking people out on dives because international waters were a thing, and drugs didn't matter out here where the water was lawless, on waves that I could navigate while half sober, while everyone else partied, puked, and nobody died. Until they did. Alessandra Faden and I had grown apart after graduation because she had a penchant for being bad on a big dime with women who did the same, and I was a guy who played Risk with fewer zeros. But Alessandra had always had a death wish, and one day she came around, and that's how me, version two, disappeared. She whispered to me that night, out on the water, under the stars. Everyone was asleep. The party left a damp confetti on the deck and bass thumping in the background. Alessandra and I were still awake and sobering up, finally. I'd only agreed to take her out here after a long reconnoiter, after 3 months of fucking her in her apartment and promising that everything was like it used to be, after 4 months before that of me being a tourist in her life while she showed me how she lived. That night, though, on the water, when the moon was setting and dawn was threatening, after promising me that everything between us was all right and what always would be, she whispered, "How would you like to kill a billionaire?" I didn't answer. Just fucked her on the prow until the sun came up. Best sex of my life. Unfortunately, she didn't die. Other people did. It was Alessandra's fault, and she spent a shit ton of money hiding the evidence. Boat sunk, bodies gone, and me, I'm not who I was. Name changed, dental records gone, nose new, cheekbones smashed and reworked. I got transplants, plastic surgery, lost my captain's license. My lifeline to being Caleb Gall is dedicated to Alessandra Faden, delivered to a P.O. box in Nowhere, Georgia, in unmarked bills. I became me. Version 3. Used to think Alessandra only pretended to be in crime. Truth was, she was. Deeply. Now I'm chasing her like I always did, churning in the wake of her destruction because I have no other choice. If she dies, I die. If she goes, I go. Whatever she says, I gotta do. That's how it worked when we were 18, and that's how it works now. I'm too old for this, and if she's chasing her death wish down there with a vice shark, so am I. In college, Alessandra was intoxicating. The drugs she got her hands on were intoxicating. Everything about her, the way she talked, the way she drove, the stories she told, all intoxicating. Just breathing in her secondhand life made me high. The way she walked was a sway, like the wind didn't blow unless she told it to. The way she turned was on point. I didn't want to be Alessandra. I wanted to be with Alessandra for the rest of my life. And fuck, did I try. Did I try so hard? But Alessandra couldn't be tied down to anything for more than 10 minutes without wresting control back. Even when she hired me to get the shit to sail all the way out to the Mariana Trench to find the vice shark, she had to oversee every detail.
I didn't sign off on anything. I just pointed at what I needed on the computer screen and she took it from there. Her face is unreadable as a seagull's. Her eyes is mean and is hungry. This is what I am thinking about as the crew lowers me down farther and farther into the dark water. The suit I'm wearing is rated for impossible dives like these. The deep, deep fucking dives when people are going where they really shouldn't. And I've got the captain in my ear feeding coordinates into my HUD of Alessandra's last location. I have about 50 meters before the water gets too cold for the suit to function. The blip on my radar says Alessandra is 20 meters below me. Her vital signs are low and going lower. She's also not moving. My own vitals spike in the access line to the boat tugs, and I tug on it twice, letting them all know I'm fine. But they're right to be concerned. Those guys have my best interest in this. They hate Alessandra as much as my life with her is complicated. I should leave her behind. Leave her down there to die. Boo-hoo. Big accident. Big whoop. But I never was that smart. I was once obsessed with a vice shark, back when I was getting clean and looking for a new fix to supplement my old ones. I got really into conspiracy theories, things like birds or government drones and stuff like that. The vice shark, though, had always been a fascination. It was unprovable, irrefutable. No one had found it and lived to tell the tale, except for an old forum mentioned in the late 1990s that ended with, "There always has to be a vice shark. Always." The legend was basically dead. No news online or anywhere for over a decade. I never said a damn thing. I was always good at keeping secrets, but surgery is one hell of a deal breaker because coming out of anesthesia after my last facial reconstruction surgery, the one Alessandra paid for because of her massive murder fuck-up, I blabbed everything. When I woke up, she was shaking me. "What do you mean there's a hedonistic shark in the ocean that grants wishes?" "What? Caleb, this shark that grants wishes, I need it." "Alessandra, that's my one thing. You have everything. You owe me." She locked the door of my hospital room and switched off our phones. In my post-anesthetic clarity, I noticed that her nail polish was chipped. It was never chipped. Her eyeliner was smudged. It was never smudged. Her tone was furious and strained and tired. And she looked basic, like only a couple $1,000. "I owe you? I owe you? I just saved your entire fucking life, Caleb Gall. You owe me at this point, like a lot. And this Hedo shark or whatever is the payment. Give it to me." I tried to rub my eyes and she grabbed my wrists. "Don't. The skin graft is still fresh anyway. What's it called?" "Vice shark. And you're not going anywhere without me. Deal?" "Deal." I reach Alessandra quickly. The HUD hasn't had time to fully set up, but it's fine. It'll be fine. She still has vital signs, but barely. Her O2 cord is wrapped tight around her arm and something shredded her access cord to the boat. Guess that's why the weird signal. Gently, I unravel her O2 cord, watching her eyelids flutter behind her HUD, which is flashing red and is way unhappy. So I do what any contentious friend with benefits would do. I shake her. Alessandra wakes up and looks at me with wide eyes that are dark and wrong. Her HUD blinks all the warnings, reading all sorts of wrong things, while mine is calm, like everything is fine. But I'm not. I'm panicking, and she's gripping my arm tight. She grins with too many teeth and brings up a gloveless hand that I recognize too late is not a hand. It severs my access cord with a single swipe. So much of Alessandra is inhuman now. Her hand, all rows of teeth, her eyes, and not Alessandra grabs me and pulls me to her. We plunge down together, down and down, sending bubbles from my rebreather up way too fast. My unsynced HUD continues to read everything as just peachy, thanks. Not Alessandra's display is red and angry, total red alert, which at least, thankfully, conceals all her teeth as she smiles at me. When I was me, version 2, I thought I had a good life, could do whatever I wanted, live lawless, which is what my clients wanted. Anything goes. In fact, that was the name of my ship, Anything Goes. I was not exactly an attractive man, too tall, too skinny, too wiry to be truly handsome. The last guy anything wanted to do anything sketchy with, especially hiring me to captain a boat for their fuck-ups in deep water. But then I found the right clients, and the reviews were 5 stars all the way down. When I was me version one, I didn't have a good life. Everything was an adjustment. My clothes, my hair, my eyeliner. Everything I said was too much, too loud, too brash, too everything. I didn't like a damn thing about me, so when I learned about what transgender was and I applied it to me, it was such a relief, allowing all that too muchness to occupy the right face, the right body, the right hands, the right smile. Even though that version was Alessandra's favorite, I couldn't ever live up to her expectations of who she wanted me to be. I could never measure up to what she wanted, her ideal of the woman she wanted me to be. I didn't have the income, the pedigree, the gravitas, or the tolerance, either for her lifestyle or for her. Me, version 3, suits me. I'm more attractive, though still kind of weird looking. Being in Nowhere, Georgia suits me. Hanging out in the bar I like suits me. Drinking RC Cola from a bottle suits me. Being sober suits me. Playing the same song on the jukebox suits me. Occasionally playing pool suits me. I like being single. And I like being alone. And now this me, version 3, the one I like best, is being dragged down too fast, too hard, to the coldest, darkest, meanest parts of the ocean by Alessandra, the woman that made this version, the woman I owe my life to, and the woman I chased around my entire life, never measuring up to. Also the woman who spent her entire life, at least the life that I've known her, trying to die. In my head, not Alessandra's voice comes in with too many S's. Caleb, you look like shit. My teeth chatter as she holds my arm, and my heart beats too fast and too cold. My vision starts blurring as her face warps behind her flashing red display. Her grip tightens, her descent quickens. The water is so dark, it's like bathing in fear. Blips of light come from here and there as the water lights up with anglerfish and other things with too many teeth and similar vendettas. I want to answer her with something clever, something fun, but all I can say is, "Well, what did you expect?" And then the water gets too dark to see her face. In my wildest drug-fueled dreams, I had Alessandra's life, her closet, her cars, her stock portfolio. But she always told me, "You don't want that. You definitely don't want that. They'd hate you. They'd hate every word that came out of your mouth." So I learned quickly to stop wishing for that sort of thing. Spending time with Alessandra in New York was a lesson in how bizarre her life was, how weird she was to hate it. She'd spent every gasping breath trying to be something, someone, anything else. And here she is, that something else looming over me, helmet off, face changing, so many teeth and blackening eyes, skin going gray and losing its pores. I am still in my helmet. The HUD lamp lights up, but the readout lies to me, saying, "Everything is going to be fine, Caleb. Just lie still. Just breathe. Just breathe. You are going to die here. It's fine. It is fine. We can be here together, Caleb. You and me, finally. Just wish to be me." This weird, not Alessandra, is not the friend who'd spoken in a half smirk her entire life. Her mean girl's special. Now her mouth is too wide, taking up too much of her face as her knot hand strokes the side of my helmet. I'm officially freaking out. My heart beating in my throat. I am going to die here. Die while not Alessandra holds me down to the ocean floor with my head dangling over the edge of the undersea trench. Just wish to be with me. This is what I wanted for so long, right? This is what I wanted since I was 18 and I followed her around campus, jumped into the passenger seat of her car. This is what I had wanted since she asked me to kill her. This is what I had wanted since accepting her paychecks, but now none of it, none of any of it is appealing. So I ask, "What happened to your face?" "I made my wish," she says in my head again. "I became the vice shark." She pushes me closer to the edge, where the hot air filters up like a whisper of malice. Her grin widens with too many teeth, worse than a smirk. This is not how I wanted to die, and I will unless I do what she wants. I hate her even more. I want you to be the vice shark too, Caleb. We've always been together, you and me. Don't kill that now. Not Alessandra. Is it lying to me? My surroundings aren't lying to me. My body feels numb, drugged, like I'm coming down from MDMA, and now all I want to do is be one with the concrete. Except it's not concrete. It's the ocean floor, and I'm partying. I'm not partying with my friends. All I have is Alessandra the Vice Shark, and she's brought me down here so she could do what she wanted. The thought hits me like shock. It's been decades of doing Alessandra's thing. In college, I did what Alessandra wanted all the time, every time. We went where she was going. I took the classes she chose, dated the boys she thought were cute. The only part of my life that was truly mine was transitioning, which she was wholly against until she heard about my business. And then she found me useful again, I guess, for this. The shock sends my HUD into full compliance, my eyes wide and me hyperventilating. Alessandra the Vice Shark pushes my torso so volcanic heat hits my back. It feels like her breath steaming up my mask. Say you want it. Full of spit and fury through all her rows of teeth. Say you want it, Caleb. Say it and I'll let you live. I want it. It's a lie. I have to lie to live. I want it. I want to be with you, Alessandra. It's all I ever wanted. Part of it is true. Had been true so many times. For so many years, I wanted to be with her, to be around her, to experience her life, to be seen with her. The mention of her name got me clout and clients. Talking about my life with her got me even more clout and more clients. But that life is over now. I like being a nobody in nowhere Georgia. I like getting her paychecks. I like not being around Alessandra Faden. I like being me. Wish it, she says. Wish it, Caleb calls. Say it. But I'm panicking. Say what? Say, you know, I wish, and then the rest. I'm busy trying to pull myself off the edge, but Alessandra the Vice Shark is very strong. She could easily toss me over this sea cliff, and I'm pretty sure my ability to swim is nil. With a flick of her arm, I can go sinking into that hell mouth of bleak water. I wish. I pause. I don't want to do this. I don't want to play her games anymore. Alessandra the Vice Shark shakes me. Come on. Say, I wish I could be you. What if instead, I say, I wish you could have my wish so you could say it. Alessandra the Vice Shark is furious, and in her fury pulls me to all her rows of teeth. We're face to face, her black eyes searching me for trickery. My HUD screams in my ears. I'm both low on oxygen to breathe and fucks to give. Caleb, just say, I wish I could be you. And Caleb Gall dies right then and there. Or at least version 3 dies. The boat pulls him up. His face matches the ID and all the documents I left behind in case something like this happened. Alessandra paid for those fake documents, and now she gets to use them to prove Caleb's death, drowning. Terrible way to go. His helmet was gone, gloves ripped to shreds. Alessandra was missing, presumed attacked by whatever got to Caleb Gall's suit, which was likewise whipped and mangled. I survived, though. When Alessandra the Vice Shark became me, the transformation was instantaneous. In the mask's reflection, I watched her face become mine, the rows of teeth become those perfect porcelain teeth. I watched the face become mine as it choked and drowned, watched her swim upward in a panic. The freakiest thing, though, I was watching that face in the mirror die. I helped her almost to the surface until she stopped moving and then let her float the rest of the way so the boat would find her, so they could pull her from the water and pronounce Caleb Gall dead. I swim away. There's a small feeling of regret, but it's gone in an instant. It was that substantial. There's a stronger feeling, a more immediate feeling, that feeling that I need to survive above all. That feeling is far more. There must always be a vice shark. Always. There's a need to swim.
and there's a hunger, one that feels like loneliness. Time is not something known to me, swimming against loneliness. There's only fear. I know the direction I'm headed. It doesn't matter where. Land no longer belongs to me. My teeth are too wide to make smiling palatable. My legs no longer understand walking. I belong to the sea, and the people on land belong to me. Their basest desires, their worst deeds. I find a port town and sink into the waters past a sandbar. My fin cuts below the water as I listen to hedonism. The dregs of humanity, the worst of the worst. I listen to the calls of music, the footfalls of dance, the cries of joy and anger. I listen to the bottles collide and clink and cheer. I listen to them fall and shatter and cause fire. I listen to the fights and the fucking and the drinks and the drugs. I feed on all of it and I become stronger. I become full. I become myself. And slowly, so slowly, I become me. Version 4.
Thank you for listening to the Three-Lobed Burning Eye Story Podcast. Visit us online at threelobedmag.com. You can support us by purchasing subscriptions, issues, or artwork from our online store, or by donating. Until next time, listen to the stars and the dark spaces between.